Let's start reading in Acts chapter 2, verses 41, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter through 47. This is on the day of Pentecost. Peter had just preached, 3,000 people lean in. They say, hey, you know what? Yeah, we believe. What should we do? And then verse 38, he says, each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he continues. And then in verse 41, it says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Then look at this, verse 42. All the believers, these 3,000 plus those who were present, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, because they had the agape, the love feast as well, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And verse 47, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill or the favor of the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. All right, jump over to Exodus 25, just two verses here, verse 8 and 9. Verses 8, he says this, have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary. Why? So I can live among them. Now listen to this. You must build this tabernacle and its furnishings exactly according to the pattern I will show you. Now, the word that's translated tabernacle in the NLT is a word from which we get the word sanctuary. Okay, sanctuary. It comes from God's own name. The Bible says in Ezekiel 20, verse 12, that I'm the Lord that sanctifies them. And we'll say that's Jehovah Kadesh, right? So the word is Kadesh here. The idea is Kadesh. So it's something that's holy, something that's sacred. Let them build me a sanctuary. Okay, this Hebrew word would never be used of just a mundane building or place. It was always for a set apart sacred place. So let them build me a sanctuary. Why? That I may dwell among them. Yeah? So he is holy and he needs a holy people. Because in the new covenant, who's the tabernacle? Who's the sanctuary? Individually, yes, we are. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But then in 1 Corinthians 3:16, he says you, and in Greek, it's plural. It's not individual. He says this, you, meaning the church, are the temple. Yeah. We're the sanctuary. So individually, our bodies are the temple, the sanctuary, but also collectively, we, the church, become the sanctuary of God. Is this good? Yeah, this is so good. All right. So build it according to the pattern. All right. So we're talking about rediscovering, recovering vintage faith. And what we've read about in Acts 2 is really what the church is meant to be today as well. Now, they weren't perfect. Their commitment to community, to authenticity, to God, to his word, a sense of awe, a sense of reverence, seeing powerful things happen, signs, wonders, and miracles, just the love, the generosity, and the community that was in their midst. They were a living, breathing community filled with God's presence, formed by devotion, fellowship, and kingdom mission. Now just say that with me. Say devotion, fellowship, mission. Devotion, fellowship, and mission. Those things are critical, those aspects, because if we miss either one of them, we are asymmetrical, okay? We're incomplete. So we have to recognize that, okay? So what we're talking about here is building something according to God's blueprint. And it's not just like a principle of architecture. What he's revealing here is a rhythm of kingdom living. A rhythm of kingdom living, okay? Because Hebrews 8 verse 5 actually says that the priests in the old covenant served at a sanctuary that was a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. A copy and a shadow of what was in heaven. Now, isn't it interesting that he says the sanctuary already existed in heaven? So when he says to Moses, build according to the blueprints, make sure that every part of this, like the tabernacle itself and all of its furnishings, are built just so. Yeah. Don't deviate, don't compromise, no shortcuts, no cutting corners. Build according to the blueprint. So it's a powerful thing what he's saying. Why? Because there's already a heavenly sanctuary, and you're just replicating on earth what's already in heaven. Now, who taught us that? Right. Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done where? On earth as it is already in heaven. So what are we building? We're building a sanctuary, a place of his habitation. He says, build it just so. Build it according to the blueprint. Make it a sanctuary, a holy place, that I may dwell among them. God wants to dwell among his people. And he wants to reveal himself and bring many more into his kingdom. So our job is to actually, Marty referenced this, no, it was Cain, Ephesians 2:22, right? That we become a habitation for the living God. That's what we're called to be, a habitation. So wherever we go, we carry his presence, we carry his character, his nature, and we reveal him on the earth. So the earthly tabernacle reflected heavenly realities, a kingdom rhythm showing how God's people are to live and minister before him. The altar, then what? The table and the lamps. Okay, guys, so these three reveal how the church lived. People who encountered God's presence, shared his life together, and carried his light into the world. Let's talk about the altar. First of all, it starts at the altar. The altar was a place of surrender, sacrifice, and encounter. At the altar, first of all, something has to die in order that something else can live. Something has to die in order that something else can live. He died. He did come back to life again. We know that. But he died so we could live. We share in his death. We also share in his resurrection. So ultimately, the altar is a place of surrender, sacrifice, and encounter. It's not merely a place of emotion or inspiration. And when we talk about the altar, we're not talking about an altar call. So they, the early church, devoted themselves. Watch that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, course, to fellowship, breaking of bread. That's inconvenient. They met in homes. They met and gathered even daily. I'm not trying to say that in order to be biblical, we have to replicate everything exactly the way they did. I'm not saying that, because I believe that context and culture sometimes changes things. And part of biblical exegesis is understanding the role that culture plays. But I do recognize there's definitely a place for us to go deeper in our devotion, to go deeper with our surrender. So they lived from the altar. Hearts were bowed, lives were yielded. Their worship was not contained to moments. It was continual posture of surrender. So what does it look like today to live at the altar? It starts not just here on a Sunday or whenever we gather together. It's a place of sacrifice. Something dies so that something greater can live. It's a place of surrender where the human will bows to the will of the divine. It's a place of encounter where heaven meets earth and hearts are changed. Yes. See, the altar is the birthplace of transformation. Yeah. Worship without surrender is really not worship. Yes. It's incomplete at best. Yeah. So the altar must move from Sunday services to daily devotion. Yes. The altar is where we meet with God, where we throw ourselves on the altar and we say, here am I. I'm presenting myself to you afresh, anew. Yes. I love the old Keith Green songs. And interestingly, Keith Green, yeah, when I got saved, he was a man. He was a man. That's what I listened to. And Lynn and I. But he has one song, it says this. He says, every day I pray to start anew because I don't want to fall away from you. Why? Oh, you're not secure in your salvation, brother. No. He's saying this. He's saying, I know that I can easily drift if I'm not careful. I need to keep coming to the altar. I need to keep laying down my life as a living sacrifice. I need to show up and bow my knee and surrender as a fresh sacrifice. A place of meeting, a place of encounter, a place of transformation, a place of surrender, and a place of sacrifice. The altar is what we're called to live in. And this is normal biblical faith. This is the way the believers lived, guys. Okay. So what practically it means to protect sacred space for prayer, fasting, reflection. Spending time with God each and every day, each one of us, and let repentance and honesty become rhythms of renewal. Yeah. Be honest. Get real with God. Yeah. Bring your real life to God. So this is powerful. We need to get back to the altar. Yes. We need to get back to the altar in our prayer life, in our families, as couples. If we're not doing this, we need to get back to the altar. Get in the Word. Get before God. Prioritize our encounters with Him. Be honest. Be real. Be transparent. Confess. Repent. Yes. Bring it before Him. Yeah. Guys, that's where the victory is. Yeah. That's where the victory is. That's how we break through. Yes. You say, Lord, this is happening in my life. Help me. I surrender. Lord, you know I'm stubborn at times. You know, Lord, I pursue my own ways at times. Whatever it may be, call it out. Acknowledge it. It's a season and a time to be honest with God. Go back to the altar. Yeah. Number two, the table. The table represents, obviously, the table shewbread and the table where literally, there was fellowship first and foremost with God. Isn't it interesting? In the context of understanding the kingdom, there can be no fellowship with one another if we both are not in fellowship with God. Otherwise, it's just socializing. See, fellowship is a different word. It's koinonia. And koinonia is a powerful word. It means shared participation in divine life. It's communion with God that overflows into communion with others. It's a powerful term. They devoted themselves to what? Koinonia. They devoted themselves. So it's a place of fellowship with God. We've already shared about this. But it's also a place where this fellowship begins to work outwardly to others as well. It's a place where we begin to connect with one another. We build community. We're a family. We're not called to just show up on Sunday. We're called to be a family. Yeah. And as a family, guess what takes place? Our lounge rooms become places where we're discipled. Yeah. Our coffee catch-ups become meeting places where mentoring can take place with one another. Do you know, in the New Testament, there are like over 40 times where the two words one another are used. Love one another, pray for one another. It even says rebuke one another. And over 40 times. And that will not happen or be fulfilled if we just show up on a Sunday. Yeah. We need one another. We need these vital, interdependent relationships where we're connecting with one another. So it's a place of fellowship. It's a place of formation. And it's also a place of belonging, a place of family. Yeah. Can you imagine? A place of belonging. We're family. Yes. No one's judged. No one's despised. No one is looked down upon. Can I say this? No one is favored, even though I'm the Father's favorite. No, I'm just kidding. If you haven't heard me say that, and you're like, what? There's a video on YouTube. You can watch it. But so in all honesty, what I'm saying, guys, is this is a place where people's lives are transformed. One another. And guys, can I just say it? Where we honestly move beyond just trying to guard ourselves, let down our walls, get real at times and say, hey, can you pray with me? I'm struggling with this. Can you? And we learn from one another. We learn from one another. We grow at the table. Open homes, open hearts. We move from surface connection to shared life, where grace, honesty, and generosity fill every table. Where the altar burns, the table thrives. And koinonia flourishes. Going back to our text, Exodus 25:8. Let them build me a sanctuary, this tabernacle, that I may dwell among them. I want to have communion with my people. I want to have that type of intimacy with my people. And at this table, as it moves out, and it's not just vertical, it's horizontal, more and more people sit at this table. And at this table, we encounter God together through the multi-giftedness of one another. It's not about a preacher, a gifted worship leader, someone else. We need one another. No matter how new you are in the faith, no matter how long you've been around, no matter if you failed, no matter if you feel that you've wasted years of your life or you've been successful in ministry, can I say, first of all, there is no one-man show in the kingdom of God. And secondly, each and every one of us carries a deposit of grace that is essential and critical for the ongoing development of the body of Christ. Lastly, the lampstand. The lampstand speaks of witness, testimony, and mission. Witness, testimony, and mission. So we know, obviously, that the lampstand represents illumination or revelation, witness, but it also speaks of stewardship, because we have a stewardship that we've been entrusted to. So what is the lampstand? Well, in Revelation, the lampstand is clearly shown as the church. But isn't it interesting that Jesus to the church in Ephesus says, I will remove your lampstand unless you repent. Huh? So what is it he's saying? Would I shut down the church? Yes, some people say that literally happened. The church ceased to exist. But that's not, I don't believe, what he was speaking about. He was saying your influence, your witness, your testimony, the presence, the light will cease. And what that meant was that God was doing something in their midst. But if they didn't steward it, if they didn't, what is our responsibility as priests? Yeah, we're all priests to trim the wick. To make sure there's oil. It says clear oil. Says in the Bible that there has to be clear oil. Exodus 27, 20 through 21. And so our role is to make sure that the light, the testimony is continuing. It's advancing. So the lampstand represents the church as the vessel of God's light. That's who we are, guys. Read Acts. Paul goes to the Gentiles. And, you know, he had gone to the Jews in the synagogue and they rejected him. And eventually he got to a point where he shook the dust off his feet. And he said, I'm going to go to the Gentiles. And he quotes Isaiah 49. And he says this. He said, God has called us to be a light to the nations. A light to the nations. See, we're called to be a light to this generation. We're called to be a light in the darkness. Not to go into a holy huddle. We come together. This is a fuel station. This is a place where we get encouraged, we get ministered to, we get to worship God together, but we need to move beyond what happens on a Sunday. We need to be praying together, we need to be fellowshipping with one another, and we need to be stewarding the oil so that we can carry the light into every space that we go. So, trim the wick. which says remove distraction, compromise, and complacency. Trim the wick. Keep your lamp filled through prayer, worship, and obedience. So the early believers lived in this rhythm of kingdom living. Okay, so there's the altar, surrender and encounter with God, the table, fellowship with one another, discipleship, the lampstand, tending the flame, advancing the kingdom. Now, I want you to understand something, and then I'll land the plane. First of all, this is not something linear or sequential. It's not like, oh yeah, man, I spend time at the altar, I get promoted to the table. And table can be a place of influence and greater responsibility. Or, oh, now I'm at the table and, well, God, I become a light to the nations. Now, Jesus is the light to the nations. Sorry to disappoint anyone. But the fact is that God's not saying this is all about this. This is a continual cycle of grace and growth. Yeah. So what do I mean by that? I mean this. There are seasons when the lampstand burns bright, right? When our witness is strong and our influence is wide. Guess what? At that very time, we need to be making sure that we're entering into the secret place. We're going back into the altar. You see that in Jesus' ministry, right? He's reaching so many people. Multitudes are showing up. Miracles are taking place. And Jesus withdraws. He withdraws. Mark 1. Luke 5:16, he often withdrew to the wilderness. In a time of great fruitfulness and effectiveness, Jesus withdraws back to the altar, back to the altar, back to the altar. Guys, if we don't have the altar and we're just trying to live off of community, can I say it so clearly that if all you're doing is living off of my sermons or anyone else's teachings, what you're watching on YouTube, or anywhere else, the latest podcast, if that is your table, if that is your altar, you'll starve. So the altar fuels devotion. The altar is a place where God renews us and strengthens us and repurposes us for his kingdom. And the table is a place, guys, where we sustain community. Hey, what's table about? What's fellowship about? What's koinonia all about? Ultimately, pointing people back to the altar and pointing people to advance the kingdom. Hey, guys, it's not codependence. It's not codependence. That's why if somebody doesn't show up for a Sunday, we're not all over that. Why? Because we're not going to foster a place of codependence here.
Yeah, that's good.
We pray for people. God, if there's something going on, yeah. Now, if they don't show up after a while, we'll reach out. Maybe the second or third week. But if it's like, no. People need to work out their own walk with God.
Yeah.
If you're struggling with something, if you're going through a difficult season, the first person, and sometimes the only person you need to go through, is Yahweh.
Yeah.
Not your way, Yahweh. And honestly, that would change everything. Go to God. Yeah. Go to God. Go to the altar. Pray. Seek his face. Talk to Jesus.
Yeah, that's good.
So, practically, it's a cycle, right? Sometimes we're at the table and we go, yep, and we get spurred on at the table and we end up, oh yeah, let's go and advance the kingdom. Like we have a good chat, we have a small group, we have a good coffee catch up when we get incented and motivated to do things, yeah. But it's all about recognizing we need the three of these components. We need the altar, the table, and the lampstand. But let's begin to cultivate these spaces. Altars in our homes, tables of friendship, family, and lives that tend the flame of his presence daily.